Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner and zucchini galore, Vietnamese pho, beer batter, the drink of the week, right here on What's for Dinner. What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you by Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering fresh produce, quality meats, and everything else customers need to make the perfect appetizer, salad, or favorite family meal. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. And today on What's for Dinner, we're going to talk about all types of foods from everything I cooked this weekend, lots of zucchini recipes to Vietnamese food, and even some beer batter recipes. So we're going to start off with Sunday dinner, or what I cooked this weekend, and actually a good weekend for me for cooking, because I was able to spend quite a bit of time in the kitchen, because harvesting the zucchini, it's got to be used, it's got to be eaten, and trying out new recipes, and there's lots of new recipes to try with zucchini. So I spent a lot of time in the house cleaning and cooking. And of course, everyone's out catching halibut, and someone brought us some halibut this weekend. So I cooked up some blackened halibut sandwiches, and they were amazing. So I'm going to give you this recipe. Here's the blackened rub. You need 2 tablespoons of garlic powder, 1 tablespoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of onion powder, 1 tablespoon of dried oregano, 1 tablespoon of thyme, 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper, and 1 tablespoon of black pepper. So you need 1 tablespoon of each of these: salt, onion powder, oregano, thyme, cayenne, and pepper. And then you need 2 tablespoons of garlic powder and 2.5 teaspoons of paprika. I mean, if you want more paprika, or, you know, change it up. I put my rub in a large resealable plastic bag, and put, you know, all the spices in there. I added the 4 halibut fillets. They're about 4 ounces, so just nice size to fit on a bun. And then shake it all to coat. And then get out your cast iron skillet if you have one. You want a nice heavy bottom cast iron skillet here. If you don't, you know, whatever you have, that's the heaviest. And I cooked these fillets in butter. So I used 2 tablespoons of butter. I might have added a little olive oil to it as well. I like to mix them sometimes. So cook them over medium heat for 3 to 4 minutes. Make sure that the halibut is, or make sure the pan is nice and hot. So, you know, it might even start smoking a little bit, the butter. Turn it down. It's okay if the butter gets browned. It's blackened halibut. It's going to be fine. Put your halibut fillets in there and cook for like 4 minutes on one side. I put a lid on top of mine as well, kind of steamed it a little bit, and flip it over and do the other side for another 4 minutes. And that's pretty much, I mean, it's going to be this amazing, beautiful piece of blackened halibut. And it might start smoking a little bit. Make sure you turn on your fan, and if you have one, you know, open the door or window or whatever. And beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of halibut. And then just put it onto a platter, set it aside, let it rest a little bit, put a little foil over it. If your halibut is a super thick piece, you might need to cook it a little longer. If it's, you know, not very thick, then it may be less. It's just however big your piece is. Then I took some nice buns and not your just average Wonder Bread, because I don't know if we can get Wonder Bread anymore, but it's something a little bit of a harder crust, a bun. And I put a little bit of butter on both sides and grilled them also in a pan on the oven. So just browned them there. And then I put on a little bit of spicy mayo on each piece, on the top and bottom. And then I put the halibut on top. And then I did some caramelized onions. Actually, they weren't really caramelized. They were just sautéed. So some sautéed onions. And then over the top of that, a spicy slaw. Not too spicy. Just a spicy slaw. And then some very thinly sliced tomatoes. Put the other part on. You got a wonderful sandwich. And just serve it with some sweet corn on the side. And here's the recipe for the spicy mayo. I used a half a cup of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of capers, and a little bit of the juice from the caper jar. Of course, when you're getting the capers out, it just kind of comes out anyway. 1 tablespoon of finely chopped red onion, 1 pinch of cayenne pepper, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and some salt and pepper, and mix all of that up. So it's not going to be super thick. It's going to, you know, be just, you just put some juice and some of the caper juice in there. And it's really going to taste delicious. Spread that on your bun. The spicy slaw is easy. And when I'm making slaw, if I'm making it for a sandwich, I don't like to buy that stuff in the store that is just like a confetti slaw, because I want it to not fall out of my sandwich. So I like to shred it. So I usually get the Napa cabbage or the Chinese cabbage and slice it very thin, and so that's nice and long, and the cabbage really holds whatever you're putting onto it, just because it has its kind of what do I want to say, frilly. It has a lot of grooves in it. So again, just a little bit of mayonnaise, maybe 1 tablespoon, 1/4 cup max, if depends on how much slaw you're using. A little bit of lime juice. Some hot sauce, if you have some, about 1 teaspoon. Use that thinly sliced Napa cabbage and some salt and freshly ground pepper, and just mix all that up together. And if you want to add a little bit of vinegar too, but the lime should take care of needing that acidity. And then, so I had the halibut. On top of the halibut, I sauteed some onions, not little pieces of onion, but cut the onion in half and sauteed each half. And so put those on top, then your spicy slaw, then your sliced tomatoes, and then the top bun. So am I making you hungry? It was so good. Hardly, you know, my family hardly stopped to breathe. We just engulfed it all, and the corn was delicious as well. So there's a blackened halibut sandwich. That's one of the first things I made over the weekend, and here's another something I made. I made this on Sunday morning. I had been down to the Star, and we talked about evil skeever pans and a little bit about evil skeevers. So I just had evil skeevers in my mind, and I have a really great evil skeever recipe that my mom gave me, but I couldn't find it. And I tried another recipe for evil skeevers, and these didn't turn out as fluffy as I usually like them. They kind of collapsed a little bit. So anyway, back to my mom's recipe. I finally found that, and I'm going to give that to you here. This is my mom's evil skeever recipe, and then I also added some maple whipped cream to this. And evil skeevers are round pancakes, if you don't know what they are, and you need a special pan for them. So if you're, you know, if you go to the Star or you go to, you know, the hardware stores in town and you see those pans with like the little half round, little half round indentations in them, and you're like, what are you cooking that? Well, that's an evil skeever pan. And a lot of times you can get them cast iron, Mine is not cast iron, and it's got this little pan underneath it that kind of keeps it up off of the flame. Anyway, you can fill the pancakes with basically whatever you want. I filled mine with some homemade apple butter that was in my fridge that somebody made. And I also filled a few of them with Nutella, some chocolate hazelnut. Evelyn wanted a little bit of chocolate in hers, and it doesn't take much to just have that little bit of a taste in your Ebelskiver. But you can fill them with all sorts of things. But they're well known, filled as, they're known to be filled with apple. So here's for the pancake batter, and this is the one that I like, but everybody has their own favorite, and you can get a million of them off of the internet. But the ones with buttermilk are delicious. So first, you can make your whipped cream and put it in the fridge. So to make the maple whipped cream, you just take an electric mixer and whisk together heavy cream, about a cup, a quarter cup of maple syrup, and some salt until soft peaks form, and then cover and put in the refrigerator until ready to use. So super, super delicious maple cream. And these are great if your friend has kids over to spend the night. They love these. Then to make the filled pancake batter, in a bowl you whisk together 1 1/3 cup of all-purpose flour, three quarters of a teaspoon of baking soda, some baking powder, about a teaspoon of baking powder, 1 1/2 tablespoons of granulated sugar, and salt. So half a teaspoon of salt. Then in another bowl you whisk egg yolks, and then you whisk in 1 1/3 cup of buttermilk and some sour cream, a half a cup. So you have your egg yolks, your buttermilk, and your sour cream in one bowl, and you have your flour, baking soda, baking powder, sugar, and salt in another. Then whisk the egg yolk mixture into the flour mixture until combined, and it'll be lumpy, and that's, you know, like when you're making pancakes, and that's fine. Just set it aside. Then in the bowl of an electric mixer, you're going to whisk and beat the egg whites on high until stiff, and about 2 to 3 minutes. So you've separated your eggs, use the yolks and the whites when set aside. Then use your rubber spatula, stir in the whites, and gently fold them in, and then you have this nice fluffy batter. So I put a little bit of butter in each well of my Ebelskiver pan, or you could even just spray it with a nonstick cooking spray if you'd like. Heat over medium heat, and I let the butter kind of bubble up a little bit, and then pour in about 1 tablespoon of batter. You don't pour it all the way to the top, just about a tablespoon, and let it cook for just a little bit, and then you spoon in about a half a teaspoon of filling, so whatever kind of filling you want to. And then top it with a little more filling, or a little more pancake batter, so the filling is covered. Then you cook them until the bottoms are golden brown and crispy, so you've cooked this now for about a total of 4 minutes. Then I usually use, everybody uses something different, chopsticks or long skewers or whatever. Sometimes having two to hold on to, because you're kind of taking your chopstick or your skewer and sticking it in to the sides of the little Ebelskiver, and then kind of pushing it down and up, and that way your Ebelskiver starts to move, and then it's kind of flipping over. So all of the cooked pancake is on top, and now the uncooked batter is now in the little well, and it's cooking. And that takes about 2 more minutes or 3 more minutes to cook. So, you know, don't take them out too soon, because they won't be done. I had a few this weekend that, you know, you're always your first ones never quite get done. It takes you a while to get into the rhythm. So let them sit there for a little bit, and then take them out. I always put them in my oven as they're cooking. have the oven on low to keep them warm. Sprinkle the pancakes with a little bit of powdered sugar. Really close by, I always keep a nice little strainer, a little sieve that I just scoop into my powdered sugar, and then I just knock it against my hand, and it sprinkles powdered sugar nicely. And you can serve that with maple whipped cream and some syrup, and delicious. Or if you want to serve it with anything, you know, strawberry sauce or berries, or just depends on what you put into it. So Evil Skeevers with maple whipped cream. If you haven't made those in a while, get those pans out and make some this weekend when you have a chance. And you'll love them. And yeah, I had some leftovers, but they were gone by mid-afternoon. You know, people would walk by and grab one and pop it in their mouth. Evelyn loved them. Also this weekend, it was kind of a zucchini weekend at our house, and it will be for a little while. I've got lots of zucchini growing at the house. Yellow squash and zucchini and eight ball zucchini and all sorts of little zucchini. Actually, they're pretty big. I'm cutting away at them. And one of the recipes that I made the other night was a zucchini corn pancake. And these are so amazing. They're not like potato pancakes that, you know, these are actually, they're like a pancake, so they're actually a little bit fluffy. And the zucchini just kind of, you know, just really gives it such a nice flavor. And the corn you can add or not add. It's up to you. If you have some fresh corn, like we had corn on the cob around the house, so the added corn is perfect for these pancakes. And this is so simple. It's just as simple as making pancake dough, except you just have to shred the zucchini. Here's a good recipe for all that zucchini that you have right here. Zucchini corn pancakes. So you need two medium zucchini, about 3/4 of a pound, maybe. And then if you want to use the corn, a half a cup of cooked corn. You need some red onion. You can cut it into very small dice, 2 tablespoons or 1/4 cup. Or you can grate it with a box grater or whatever type of grater you have. Maybe you have one that, you know, isn't a box grater, but it works well for you. Needs to be the larger grater, not the small one. Then 2 large eggs, lightly beaten, 6 to 8 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, probably 8, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. So mix your onion, corn, and eggs into a bowl. Then you're going to stir in your flour. So you've got the flour, corn, and egg mixture going on there, and the baking powder and salt and pepper. When that's done, then grate the zucchini right onto the top of that using your grater. And if you need to, you can add more flour if it's too moist. It's going to be pretty moist, but don't worry about that. Get out your cast iron skillet. Make sure you get that out before you make the batter, and that way the skillet's going to already be hot and ready to go. You're going to melt 1/2 tablespoon of butter and 1/2 tablespoon of oil in the pan, kind of a mixture. And then you're going to drop heaping spoonfuls of the batter into the pan and spread it out just a little bit. So they're not going to be huge pancakes. They're going to be just a nice size, just kind of a mini pancake. Cook them for about 2 minutes on each side and until they're done. And it's going to bubble up just like, you know, a regular pancake would bubble up. So you can see when it needs to be flipped. So go ahead and flip it. And as you do them, you might need to add more oil to the pan or whatever. And then put them in the oven on low and until they're all cooked. And delicious. And here is how I would serve this. Take 3 or 4 of these pancakes and put them on top of each other. Maybe 3. 4 might be too much. And then top it with a little bit of maybe a dollop of sour cream with some fresh chives mixed in, just a dollop, and then spoon on some tomato onion relish. So maybe you've been lucky enough to have somebody give you some at Christmas time that you never figured out what to do with. Now is the time to get that tomato red onion relish out. Or you can make some really, really easily and stick it in a jar and have it for these type of things. And tomato onion relishes go really well with hot dogs and bratwursts and sausages that you're going to throw on the grill still through the summer. So it'd be worth it to make some of this. You need 4 large vine-ripened tomatoes and chop them up, and a small red onion chopped up, a clove of garlic crushed or chopped, a couple tablespoons of olive oil, a tablespoon of tomato puree, and maybe just a little bit of sugar. And put all the ingredients in a pan, and when it starts to bubble, you're just going to simmer it, let it cook down a little bit, taste for seasoning, and there you go. Not hard. But make sure your onion is cooked a little there, and serve warm or cold. It can be a dip or with burgers. It'd be delicious on a burger, sausages, or zucchini corn pancakes. Evelyn liked these pancakes as well, so especially if you give them a little sour cream and something like that to go with it, that'll help out. And it's, you can have them in the morning if you want to, but having it even as a side dish next to a salad or maybe a burger or something like that would be really good. I'm trying to think of what we had ours with. I think we just had the pancakes. Okay, moving on. We've got more zucchini recipes here. Here's one that I played around with yesterday. These are oven-baked zucchini chips. I used a little bit too much salt on the first batch, so toned it down a little bit. I love salt, but even it was too much salt for me. So these are delicious, and they're very, very crispy. And they're baked, not fried. So you're going to heat your oven to about 425 or 450, but 425 works fine. Even in my oven, it seemed to work. Once again, get out a Ziploc gallon bag and put in some a third of a cup of breadcrumbs or panko. And if you want these to be gluten-free, you could probably just use gluten-free crumbs from gluten-free bread. Also, some Parmesan cheese, like a quarter cup of finely grated Parmesan cheese. Not the big grate, but this one is the small grate. And it's amazing, you really don't need, don't throw away those little ends of your Parmesan cheese when you think that, you know, it's too dry or something like that. Go ahead and keep it in your refrigerator because it's perfect for stuff like this, because it's still really good to use for this type of thing. Black pepper, salt, and salt to taste, but and then some garlic powder and cayenne pepper, so they're going to have a little bit of a kick to them. So coat your zucchini slices in olive oil in a bowl, so mix them around so they're all coated, and then place the zucchini slices in a bag with breadcrumbs and spices, then shake it to coat, then arrange them on a nonstick cooking sheet. You're going to slice these to like a quarter inch slice, or eighth to a quarter inch. Quarter inch is getting kind of big, but maybe just an, you know, if you can cut it into an eighth, that's fine. But you don't want it to be paper thin either. So you're arranging them on a nonstick cookie sheet and then mist them with a little nonstick cooking spray. If you have to, you can press the crumbs down a little bit on them so they're pressed into the zucchini a little bit. And or maybe you just want to put them on a wire rack that you sprayed with non-stick cooking spray, that's fine too. And so you're going to put them in the oven and bake them for 15 minutes and turn over and continue baking until golden brown, another 10 minutes or so. Don't let them burn and allow to cool at room temperature and store in an airtight container. And they will get crispier as they cool. And they are nice and crunchy. They make a great chip. The ones that I had a little bit too much salt on, I just kind of crumbled them up and put them in a Ziploc baggie because I'll just use them as some sort of a topping for something, maybe mac and cheese or something like that. Give them a try, oven-baked zucchini chips. I'm going to put these on the website after the show. I've already kind of uploaded some of them. They just need to be moved over. Here is another zucchini dish that I made last night that was amazing. And that's what I'll be having for leftovers tonight. Instead of making eggplant parmesan, I made zucchini parmesan. I have one zucchini that I cut for this zucchini parmesan that is huge. So, you know, it was the size of an eggplant, a larger eggplant. So you might need to find the biggest zucchini you can, or you can cut your zucchini slices in lengthwise instead of rounds, and that will be just fine too, and you can still work with it. But it was super delicious. And yes, I did fry the zucchini, but one of the things that made it so delicious is this roasted red pepper tomato sauce. Super easy to make. You can make eggplant or your zucchini parmesan just by opening up a can and pouring in your sauce and, you know, calling that good. But, you know, while you're frying your zucchini, you might as well be cooking a sauce that you made that really just takes a few minutes to pull together. So start with your cast iron pan, something a little bit, something a little bit deeper. So it could be even a soup pot, that's fine, or some sort of smaller stock pot. 3 tablespoons of olive oil and cut up a large onion and get that going really quick. So that's, you're just getting that done. Throw in some cloves of garlic, coarsely chopped. You don't even need to chop them. Just flatten them out, throw them in. Throw in some red pepper flakes. And then once your onion is cooked and softened, then you're going to put in a medium jar of roasted red peppers. Just open up the jar, throw them in, juice and all. A couple cans of chopped tomatoes, throw those in. And three tablespoons of flat leaf parsley, basil, and a tablespoon of chopped oregano. So I keep some herbs out on my porch this time of the year, and I just grab, snipped them all off, quickly rinsed them under the water, and I just gave them like a quick chop. I didn't even try to chop because I'm going to put this in the blender. So just throw that in with the rest of it and some salt and pepper. And then let that cook for about 20 minutes or so. It's going to boil and it's going to start to thicken and everything and the tomatoes, and it's all nice and happy in there. Then you can just spoon it into a blender or your food processor and puree it till smooth and bring it and put it back in. So it doesn't take that long. In the meantime, you're prepping your zucchini and getting it ready, cutting it into slices. So the slices are about 1/4 inch thick here, so thicker than the chips. And you're going to need the breadcrumbs again, fresh breadcrumbs, making from day-old bread, or just go buy some. Also, some more fresh parsley, oregano, and thyme. And if you don't have time for that, don't worry about it. Throw in, you know, like a blend, an Italian blend, some black pepper. And then you have one bowl that has 6 large beaten eggs with a little bit of water in it. You have another bowl that has some flour for dredging. And then you have your other bowl with breadcrumbs. So it can be kind of a messy process. I use tongs to do this. And then get out your cast iron skillet with some oil in it. Not a lot. You can keep adding to it if you need to. And basically, you're just going to take your zucchini slices and put them in the flour, then dip them in the egg, and then in the breadcrumb mixture, and then fry them until golden brown on both sides. It doesn't take long. When your pan starts getting really hot, it goes pretty quick. And the zucchini cook very quickly. Unlike eggplant, you don't need to salt them and get out the extra moisture and all of that. So you don't have to do any of that. Set them aside. And then you also need some mozzarella cheese. One package of grated mozzarella was fine for this recipe. And then I bought one of those containers of fresh mozzarella for the top mozzarella, and I thinly sliced it. You also need about 1 cup of grated Romano or Parmesan cheese, and some fresh basil leaves would be good too. So when you're layering it, you just get your 9x13 out and you put in a third of the sauce on the bottom of the pan. Then layer your zucchini slices. You're going to need about 16, 17, 18 slices. Layer those on the bottom. Then I put just a little dollop of sauce on each one and mozzarella and some Romano. And then more sauce over that. Layer again with the zucchini and everything. And then more sauce over the top of that. So we have a couple layers there. And at the end, I sliced up the fresh mozzarella and spread that over on the top. And actually, if you have, you know, your slices spread out, when you're serving it, you just cut it so that you have that nice one slice of mozzarella on top when you're serving, and that is great. And put it in a 9x13 and cook it on 350 for like 45 minutes, and you're good to go. Everything's already cooked. You're just blending everything together, and it's super delicious. Just serve it with some bread and a salad, and delicious. So that's another way you can use your zucchini. You can substitute a lot of eggplant recipes for the zucchini. And that's what we had this weekend at the Andersons. Really worked on zucchini recipes. If you have a zucchini recipe you want to share with everyone, email Mindy at kfsk.org. Coming up next on KFSK, we're going to talk about some Vietnamese pho, one of my favorite soups.
I'm a zucchini, and I'm happy to be born and raised in the garden with other veggies. My mom's a summer squash. I got a cabbage patch dad. They're the best garden parents you ever did have.
Zucchini. What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you by Inga's Galley, serving burrow-grown food and fresh-caught seafood, thoughtfully prepared, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, soups, and salads. Inga's Galley, featuring Baranoff Brown Ale Brew from Sitka. 772-2090. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today we're going to talk about pho. Actually, we could spend a whole hour talking about pho, but the most important thing about Vietnamese pho is the broth. And everything else is pretty simple, and actually the broth is simple too. You've probably had it, maybe you haven't, but it's that nice big bowl of clear broth soup that you can get at pho restaurants, and served with rice noodles and generally some sort of sliced meat. Sometimes they even serve it with tripe or what they call meatball, or, you know, different things like that. But this is going to be the recipe just using some sliced beef. And actually, one of the best places to get this is on University Avenue there in the University area of Seattle. So on the Ave, it's, if you're going up the Ave, it's on the left-hand side, and it is like maybe 41st Street and University. And you get a nice little dessert after you're done, but huge bowls of this, and it is so delicious with all of the fresh herbs and lime and sauces that you can put in to spice up your broth any way that you want to. But you make your broth ahead of time in large amounts, and then it'd be great to have a party and you just have the broth and the noodles, and everybody kind of just does their own thing with the soup. It would be a great, great party to have. And not a lot of work, really, just cutting up the vegetables and preparing the broth the day before. In Vietnam, they have it for breakfast. They breakfast and lunch a lot, and it takes at least 2 hours to prepare the broth, so try to make it ahead of time, and you can keep it in the refrigerator. It'll last for a few days, and you can also freeze it And you can use several different types of bones. You can use marrow bones, oxtail bones. We talked about oxtail before. It's not cheap at the grocery store. It's like $9.99 a pound or $8.99 a pound or something like that. It's my one of my favorite cuts of meat, but it is pretty expensive. So you can just really just use like marrow bones, and then you'll want some beef chuck. And when you're cooking this broth, you want it to be nice and clear. You don't want the foam on top, and you don't want all those little solids that come off of the meat and the meat bone floating around in the soup. You want all of that gone, and you want a nice clear broth. So what you want to do is start off with a couple of pots of boiling water. Start off with a couple pots. Take your soup bones and some beef and put those into one pot with some salt. In your other pot, you're going to maybe take a whole onion and some ginger, and you can toast the onion and the ginger. Like, you can put it in the broiler and get it broiled so there's a little bit of char to it. Open the ginger up a little bit and give it a kind of a char, a little bit of a smoky flavor. Or you can do that right over your stove if you have a gas stove. Then you can use the flame and kind of char an onion and throw that into your broth. And just like chicken stock, when you're making that, you want those things to cook in the broth for quite a while, and that's what gives it such a wonderful flavor. We're not going to keep those things in there. We're going to take them out, but as we're boiling, we're going to allow them to be very flavorful. So you've got your beef chuck and your beef marrow bones, or even knuckle bones. Cut your beef chuck into like two pieces and put it in there. You've got your ginger and an onion or two onions that have been charred, thrown in your other one. Also, a quarter cup of fish sauce goes in with the onion, okay? And maybe a little bit of sugar. Also, the reason we're putting those beef bones in another soup pot is because, you know, when you're cooking meat, how it gets that foam on top and it gets those solids kind of float to the top. Well, you're just basically going to somewhat parboil the beef and the bones just to release those, and then take them out and put them into the other pot, your main pot. So, and you can even rinse them with a little bit of cold water. Get all of that off, and then that way your water won't be cloudy, your soup won't be cloudy, and it won't have that as much foam. And remember, when you're cooking the broth, you want to skim off the foam as it happens, which hopefully it won't if you've kind of parboiled your beef bones a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time straining your soup so that it has that nice, clear broth to it. Some of the herbs that you're going to use for your soup is cloves, some star anise. You're also going to want some cinnamon, coriander, fennel. So cinnamon, coriander, fennel, and star anise, and some whole cloves. And you can just put those in a pan and roast them up a little bit. It's going to release some of the oils and release the flavor that way. And you can put them just like you, if you were doing pickling or something like that, in a little bag of just a woven bag, and float that in your broth so they release their flavors in the broth. So now you've got your beef and your bones and the onion and ginger, and you've got these nice toasted herbs floating around in the broth. And you're going to let that cook for a couple hours. And the longer you let it cook, the better it's going to be. And I think it's super important if you toast your spices. And you don't need to use any oil or anything like that. Just put it in a dry pan, let them roast, let them toast just a little bit, just a few minutes, and you'll start to smell them, get fragrant. Take them out, put them in a bowl to cool off, and then put them in the bag and then throw them right in. Some cardamom is also good. Of course, a little bit of salt. And then as that's cooking, you can go off and do other things and let it cook down a little bit. And to make your soup, you're going to need some rice noodles. And you can get them in certain widths. You can get them at the grocery stores here in town. And you can get narrow or wider. And, you know, we usually like the wider ones pretty good. But if you like the smaller, narrow ones, that's fine too. Soak them in a little bit of water and let them get soft. Then put them in boiling water for just a few minutes. And put them in bowls. Divide them up into bowls. And you're also going to take out the meat out of your broth. And you can take some of that out, not all of it, and slice it up and set it aside, because it's also going to go into the bowl with the noodles. And the rest of the meat can just stay in there. And then time to strain your meat. You can take out the onion, take everything out, take out the bag, and strain your broth. So you basically just put it through a colander, and you can put a piece of cloth on the colander, or even, you know, paper towels work really well, and then strain the broth right through the colander and the paper towel. And you're going to have a nice clear broth from that. So, you're going to place your cooked noodles in preheated bowls. Then you're going to put a few slices of the beef chuck on top of the noodles. And you also have a nice piece of sirloin steak, and it's raw. So that's the kind of the nice thing about this pho, is that the broth is super, super hot, and the noodles are hot. And, you know, if you've cooked your broth the day before, you need to make sure you get it to a nice boiling point before you put it over your noodles, because you can take some sirloin steak, slice it nice and thin, and it can even be slightly frozen, and then you can slice it better that way. Nice and nice, really, really thin, almost paper thin. Put that over your noodles as well. So when you put that broth on, it's going to cook that sirloin just perfectly over your noodles. And so ladle your soup into the bowl, and of course it's going to cook the raw beef instantly. Garnish with some onions, scallions, cilantro, and serve immediately. And the nice thing about this is you put that big, huge platter on your table filled with like bean sprouts, herbs like cilantro and Thai basil and mint leaves and cut up limes. And you also have some chilies, some Thai chilies cut up. And there you go. You can season your soup by putting all of these fresh herbs and even some chili paste, maybe some more soy sauce. And it's a perfect, perfect meal to have when you have friends over, and it's great for lunches. You can keep that broth in the freezer and pull it out when you need it, and it's the hard part's already done there. You just need to gather up all of your fresh herbs and your noodles. So that's a Vietnamese pho. I wanted to share that with you. And I'm getting ready to make a huge batch of it so that we have it around our house, because I haven't had any for a long, long time. If you have any questions, email me, mindy@kfsk.org. I can send you a copy of the recipe I have, and you can make this at home. And call me anytime, KFSK 772-3808, and I can help you through the process. Coming up next on KFSK, we're going to quickly talk about beer batter, because it's not just for halibut.
You can stretch them for a mile, noodles. Get just slurp them on the way to your chin. Noodly, oodly, oodles in your hair. Noodly, oodly, oodles everywhere. Macaroni, tortellini, ravioli too. You can find the noodle that's right for you.
Eat them with spaghetti sauce
and lots of grated cheese.
Have them plain with butter.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host, and right now we're going to talk about beer batter. And I know there's so many good beer batter recipes in Petersburg and in different restaurants here in town. But, you know, with the amount of halibut that we've had lately and people are catching, it made me think about, of course, beer bit halibuts, halibut. And when I was making the blackened halibut the other night, I thought, well, I could have made beer bit halibut sandwiches, but I wanted to go a little bit lighter and just, I wanted that fresh blackened taste. But then it made me think about beer batter and all of the different things that it could be used for. So I know many of you out there have the best beer batter recipes. If you don't have one that you really like, here is a super good beer batter recipe. This makes 2.5 cups of batter. You need 2 large eggs, a bottle of like light or medium lager beer, 12 ounces, cold. 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour. Some coarse salt. 5 cups of vegetable oil, because you're gonna need that oil to fry with. And then, of course, you need what you're going to cook in it, you know, whether it's halibut, shrimp, or vegetables. And if you're using onions, buttermilk is a great idea because you soak your onions in the buttermilk first, and that kind of takes away some of that sharpness of the onion before you're putting it in your beer batter and then putting them in the hot oil. Make sure that when you're making your beer batter, you stick it in the fridge for about 1/2 hour, maybe even a little bit longer, and let it sit a little bit before and let it get cold, because the cold beer batter and the hot oil, it just makes for a much nicer coat on your whatever you're battering. Also, make sure your oil is at 360 degrees. You don't want to take this really beautiful piece of halibut that you've just beer battered and stick it in oil that's not hot and let it, I mean, it would be horrible. Then it's going to just get icky. So make sure your oil is hot. Use a thermometer if you're unsure. So beer batter recipes. Well, we know we can do halibut beer bits. Everybody, you know, we're good at that here. We're good at halibut, any, you know, halibut burgers. Also, you can beer batter, since it's so easy to make the beer batter and you're so good at it, you can get some chicken breasts, boneless, skinless, cut them in strips. Put the chicken strips in some Worcestershire or sauce and some hot sauce and let it just coat a little bit for maybe 10 minutes. And then put that in beer batter and make some nice beer battered chicken strips. Kids will love that. Maybe not with the hot sauce in it, but so that's an idea for something different in beer battered. Also, how many of you have done halibut but you've never done some veggies? So you can do, let's talk about the zucchini. You can do zucchini in rounds. You can make like zucchini fries and make them the size of a French fry and cook some zucchini that way. Of course, we love whole beer battered mushrooms, but you could also do slices of portobello mushrooms in a beer batter. You know where they make really good battered portobellos is I think it's 13 coins. Anyway, you get like a tower made with them, and they're delicious. You can also beer batter onions, of course. Putting them in the buttermilk first is a good idea. What about asparagus? Have you had beer battered asparagus? And then, of course, there's always beer battered green tomatoes. So if you've been trying to grow those tomatoes and They just haven't quite ripened yet, and you don't know if they're going to. You can cook those green tomatoes, and they're going to be delicious beer battered. Also, you could make a beer battered green tomato sandwich. Yum. And put on some zucchini and all that. That would be totally delicious. You can also beer batter shrimp and make a poor boy sandwich. Yum. These are just ideas that I'm giving you. Also, you can coat. You can roll your shrimp in flour, dredge it in your beer batter, coat it with coconut, and then let it sit for 30 minutes, like in the fridge, and let it get cold together and kind of blend together. Throw those in your hot oil, and you've got a really great coconut beer battered shrimp. Have you ever heard of beer battered kale? Out in my garden, I have all these huge kale leaves, and I'm dying to make some beer batter and just try beer battered kale leaves. They sound delicious. And when I was in Edmonds a month and a half ago with the Prairie Home Companion people, folks that went with us, I had some beer battered cheese curds because I love Beecher's cheese and Beecher's handmade cheese curds. And there was a little stand selling beer battered cheese curds. Of course, I couldn't pass them up, and I did share them with Sally and Al, and we all agreed that they were absolutely delicious. And you can make those too, because we know we can get Beecher's cheese curds here, and you can get cheese sticks. You can just use a mozzarella cheese stick and beer batter that as well. Apples. You can beer batter apples, serve them with a little bit of powdered sugar, maybe a little bit of caramel sauce over the top as a dessert. That would be delicious. And then I threw this one in here because we don't see very many sweet things beer battered, but of course you can go to the fairs and buy all the beer battered stuff you want. But the beer battered brownies, maybe we should stay away from, but purchase those where we don't have to make a whole batch and want to eat them all. Beer battered brownies. But here's another one. This is a beer battered fried avocado taco. You take your avocado and toss it in some lime first. Slice it up, toss it in lime, and then put your beer batter on it. Soak it in beer batter and throw that in the hot oil and make your tacos out of beer battered avocados instead of, you know, something else like a fish. So there's the beer batter ideas. Just remember, when you're making your beer batter and you have some left over, you can always scrounge through the fridge and see what you have to try that's a vegetable or a cheese and give it a whirl. See if you like it. Coming up next on KFSK, it's the drink of the week.
Come on now, y'all help us with this.
What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for fixing in a new favorite drink. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, open 7 days a week, 772-3207.
If you happen to be just passing by, stopping at the Saturday Night Fish Fry, it was a rockin', yeah. It was a rockin', la 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 la. You never seen such scuffing and a shuffling till the break of dawn. Say you would need it, say you would need it. It was a rockin', heavy. It was a rockin', head out. You never seen such scuffing and a shuffling till the break of dawn. Well, my friend and me, we were in a mean skin. We was feeling round and leaning in. Decided we could use a little something to eat, so we stopped at this house on Rampart Street. I knocked on the door, it opened with ease. A great big man said, won't you come in, please? Before I could even really bat an eye.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. And here is the drink of the week. This sounded very interesting to me because it uses a flavored vodka. Of course, now you can get all sorts of flavored vodkas. I was in one of the liquor stores a few days ago and just noticing all of the little samples you can get of blueberry and different flavors. And you can flavor your own if you want to try a special drink, you know, in small batches. Of course, none of us need to have like a huge amounts of it sitting around the house. But this recipe calls for tea vodka, and I don't think you can buy tea vodka. You have to make your own, which means you just take some green tea or whatever flavored Earl Grey tea, and you steep that in vodka for like a week or so. Maybe you only need to do it for a couple of days because it's tea, and tea steeps pretty well. It's not like it's a big fruit or something like that. But you know, a little bit of vodka, maybe a cup or so, steep it with some green tea or Earl Grey tea, and then strain it. And before you know it, you have this tea vodka that you can use for this drink. This is, it takes two sprigs of thyme. It's called a tea thyme vodka. Two sprigs of thyme, you need some ice, you need 1.5 ounces of tea vodka, 3/4 of an ounce of fresh lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of honey, and 2 teaspoons of water. And so in a cocktail shaker, lightly muddle 1 of the thyme sprigs, add ice and the tea vodka, lemon juice, and honey syrup, and shake well. Strain into a chilled martini glass and garnish with the remaining thyme sprig. Doesn't that sound delicious and refreshing? And you don't have to make this even with the vodka. You could just make an iced tea using thyme. And so you could steep tea and not use the vodka. Have thyme, lemon juice, honey, water, and the thyme is what makes it. And, of course, steeping the tea in the vodka. I think it sounds great. We're going to try it. And once again, you need 2 sprigs of thyme, some ice, 1.5 ounces of tea vodka, 3/4 ounces of fresh lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of honey, and 2 teaspoons of water. And that's it. That is the tea thyme vodka, the drink of the week. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm hungry. I loaded you down with a lot of recipes today. That wraps up this week's What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me today. Send me your best beer batter recipe to mindy@kfsk.org. And the one I pick to go on the website will win a prize. So email it to mindy@kfsk.org. Have a great week. What's for Dinner on KFSK has been brought to you by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, Hammerin' Wecon Grocery Store, and Inga's Galley. Our theme music provided by Louis Prima. If you missed any part of today's show, you can hear it in its entirety on kfsk.org. Happy eating! To the fruity once and spumoni twice. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of plain water for me. Spray the whipped cream for it. Coming up on KFSK, All Things Considered, here at 4 o'clock with your KFSK news at 4:30. 6 o'clock, Alaska News Night.